for your goodness and your kindness.
Blog Talk Radio.
God, I thank you and I praise you on an auspicious and wonderful day. I thank you for your love toward us. I thank you for your goodness and your kindness. And you designed your purpose that we all might be able to live under that rulership of that love that you have designed for us. And we want to just thank on you and praise you and honor you for your goodness and your love. We thank you again for that divine purpose, oh God, that you called us to line up to fulfill the perfect will of your love and be that light that you are, God. May we produce that in the spirit of truth. We kiss your very presence, and we thank you that you be our present help, even as I begin to speak. I want to say hello to all of you. This is Rosalie with Blog Talk Radio. Forgive me. This is Rosalie with Blog Talk Radio, giving you the best of my love. I thank God today. I really do. I'm alive and I'm living, and I'm sure that you are well. In spite of what the adversity might be, good or bad, right or indifferent, the reality is you have life, and God has given it to you more abundantly. Who could do a better thing? Who could have a better purpose? Who could have a greater love? No love than this, that a man will lay down his life for them that he loves. And I want to thank God today for his divine love that he has given on us today. I thank God today. I'm going to be sharing with you really as to why we are here. Why are we really here? What is our real purpose as to why we are in the earth? I want to read a scripture to you out of the book of James in the 4th chapter. And we're going to be starting at the 14th verse. And the word of the Lord, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? Is it a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away? 15 says, for that ye are to say that if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. And 17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is a sin. And so what we're going to be discussing today is why you're here and what is your purpose as to what it is you're supposed to do while you are here. And to do it, and to know it, and to do nothing is a sin against God. And for the fact that why are you, you know, the question is, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. So you don't have a clue what tomorrow is going to hold. For what is your life? In the scripture, there are several scriptures that says it's as of a vapor. So it can just come and go, and it just vanishes in any given moment. You don't know when it's going to be. But you have to know why you're here. That while you're here, you know, you can accomplish things that God requires of you. And a lot of times we live in our life, you know, we know our biggest fear is not that we're inadequate. It's not that we can't do the things that are called for us to do. It's just many times we live in fear. And what we really don't realize is we're powerful beyond measure because he created us like that. And so when we're living in that fear without that knowledge or that understanding to the truth, then we're walking on in darkness instead of in the power of his light and the power of his might. I mean, God created you brilliant. We're talented. We're fabulous. He gave us everything that we have need of as his children in the earth. And so we don't want to live a life in disappointment to him or to ourselves. And so in the word of God in Genesis, you know, in the first chapter, 24 through 28, it's talking about the creation of God. And I want to just take you back a little bit. Sometimes things can become mundane. But we need to refresh it, our memory. We need to remind ourselves what it is that God has already said according to what it is God has already done. And the reality, what God has already done is he created all things, the heaven and the earth. He said, let there be. He spoke to it. He gave it his authority. He gave it his living word. And then he gave us that same power. But what he did was after he created the heavens and the earth, he created all the animals, and he caused each one to have that which is in a likeness to the next. And so when he created the animals, then he created, let's say, the livestock. He created of his own kind. When he created everything in the water, guess what? He created of his own kind. When he created man, man was by himself when he created him. But the first thing he said was, he said, but let us create him in our image. And so in that image, in that likeness, and in that image. And so we lack to live, to fulfill what God has called us to do, because we're not doing in the image in which he already designed it to be. It's supposed to be in the likeness that he is. So where we are in our life, even with our gifts and with our talents, even with our abilities, God is, everything is in the image of God. Everything is in the likeness of God. God said, and let there be mankind in our image and in our likeness, so that they may have rule over. God created you so that you could have rule over. He said the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals, and to have this authority over all creatures that move along the earth. He gave us rulership. And when we're not understanding that life is like a vapor, who can know what tomorrow holds? When we live and don't fulfill what God has called us to, because we don't understand who we are, the Bible says that it's a sin against God. For God so created mankind in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them. And then he said, I created the male and the female, is what I did. I did it, why? For a purpose. Then he goes on, he says, but God blessed them. Don't you know that everything that he has done is in his image and in his likeness? You're here to fulfill what has already been spoken. After he created you, he did it in the image, in the likeness. When something is done in an image, it's in the likeness of. And so now you become the very essence of who God is and his image, and then the abilities or the authority to create. God gives you that same ability, that same authority to be able to create. God is a creator, and he gave you that same power to be a creator. When we think about a creator, we can think about the things that we have talents and gifts and abilities in the earth. You think about an artist. An artist can draw, paint. Then you can think about, and the artist does so many things, but I'm just giving you a few things, a few ideas. I mean, you have a doctor can heal. God is a healer. You're doing this in the image and in the likeness of who he is. You cannot live to follow and duplicate what someone else is doing or thinking. You're called to fulfill what he's already given you the ability to do. He said, I give you the power to do these things in my name. I give you the ability to do that because you're doing it in the image and the likeness of who I am. So what I can do, he's saying, guess what? You can twin that. You can duplicate that. You can do that in the same image of who I am, in the same likeness, in the resemblance of. Then we are a break off of that truth. And it's beyond what I'm saying. When I say break off, it sounds just like a little portion of something. But it's beyond what you can imagine. So when God created mankind in his own image of God, he created them. So he created us in that image and then gave us that same creative power. And then he came back and said, he said, God blessed them. He bestowed his blessings upon you. He blessed you and he said, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over. I'm giving you the authority. You're here. Duplicate more like you of your own kind, of your offspring. To every generation shall you continue to duplicate and grow and expand. But in the meantime, as you're doing these things and living, you're living the very attributes and the characteristics of the Creator. You possess the whole thing. But the word of the Lord tells us in James in the 4th chapter, but if you know these things and don't do it, then it's a sin against God. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Your life is as a vapor that can just disappear at any given moment as though it never was there. So now that you have this image and this duplication that resembles that twin, the spirit of who God is. He's giving you the capacity to fulfill whatever your gifts are. The gifts of God was bestowed when communication came. Okay, God has taught us to communicate. Why? Because God is a communicator. God's image was imprinted on us. The human ability to think or to reason God gave us as communicators. So when we open up our mouth and talk, we can change the entire world with the gift of communication. Again, because God is a communicator. He gave us languages and arts and symbols. When we open our mouth, we have that ability to produce and duplicate whatever we believe for. In that image, whatever he did, he gave us the power to do. Jesus said, you know, in the Word of God, in the book of Matthew, he said, I do what I see my Father do, and I say, and you all hear me say that many times, and I say what I hear my Father say. He's a duplicator. He's resembled. He is the very essence to who God is. And so he has given that same power and gift. And last week I spoke on the kingdom. Because we're now the kingdom of God. And it says in Ephesians in the first chapter, 13th verse, it says when you first believed. You got to go back when you first believed. These are words that have already been spoken. And the Bible said even when God spoke these things, he called it good. When he looked on his great creativeness, and listen, the communicator, he said, let there be, the Bible said, and he said. And when he said it because he is the communicator. He's the communicative voice that is beyond all. And when he spoke it, everything bowed to his word. And so what I'm really saying to you as a reminder, this is who you are. He's giving you the same abilities in that image and in that likeness to produce and to say, and so it shall be. We are, again, the very essence of who God is. Well, who is God? God is also a spirit. You are spiritual. Why? Because God is spiritual. The Bible says they that shall worship him in spirit and in truth. And you are spiritual. Why? Because God is spiritual. You're more than the sum of a physical part. But the unseen spirit is as real as your natural side. And so now we are creators. We are spiritual beings. We are communicators. Why? Because God is. He's given us the power. He's given us the ability to say, let there be, and there was. But it's only to them that first believe. Remember, I just said to you in Ephesians 1 and 13, it says, and when you first believe, and we have to go back to our beginning, even when we first fell in love through the salvation, the perfect plan of destination for all humanity. And in that first destination of God's divine purpose for all men, it calls you to receive the kingdom. You're looking for something, but you're greater than all the things you're in search of. You are the kingdom of God, living, moving, and having this being in that physical form. Inside of that physical form is a spirit. God is spiritual. Guess what? And so are you. You are greater than the sum of your physical part. And so in that spirit, you have the right to create. Whatever you speak, you have dominion and authority and might and wisdom given you by God. When he looked on all that he did, he called it good. Dropped the O, he called it God. And so he is saying, you are the gift of who I am. You're the gift. I gave you the gift, which is the eternal life. So we all one. We summed up in all of this together. And I'm speaking to you tonight that you might come back to that truth, that you might operate out of that truth and be the very essence of who God is. And so I just spoke that you are creators. I just spoke just now that we are the gift of life as communicators given to us. that we can speak and we can think and reason. We have the human ability to have language and symbols. And so we flow in this, in God, through communication. Words are everything. You have to choose and decide today, as free moral agents, what is it that you want to say? You need to be mindful of the words that you choose. When God began to speak in the vastness of space, and it was totally empty, as he began to speak, as he thought it, it became. He said, let there be. For as a man thinketh, so you will get what you think. And so we are, again, there it is. There is another thing that we twin or resemble to, the same attributes and the ways of God to speak and cause it to deliver. He's giving you that same right. And you're looking to another when he's already given it to you. So not only are we creators or communicators or spiritual, but we're relational. Why? Because God is relational. And so God made us in his image and in that likeness that we can relate one to another. Because it's not about the religion, but it's about the relationship. It's about intimate or intimacy. It's about the union of a oneness, a connection, where he's penetrated his spirit in the depth of our being. And so now we are hooked in, and we're hooked in as one. The relationship is the expression of his love. It's what he has given us. For God so loved who? It's a God so loved the world. He didn't pick this one and pick that one and pick the other one. For God so loved the world, it says that he gave. And then he gave his only. Are we willing to give anything? Are we even willing to give our only? Those are the attributes and the characteristics of God. He is a relational God. And all that he did in the beginning, even through the power of creativity, to bring man forth, he spoke man into existence because of relationship, because of love. He communicated to the universe, which is himself, which is the atmosphere, which is himself, the hemisphere, celestial sphere. It is him. All things is God. And there is, in Colossians says, there's nothing outside of him. So he's aware of all that he is. And the reality is that we might not sin against God in James 4 and 14 to know these things and not to do them, not to live according to being the creator or being spiritual, flowing out of the spiritual realm, which is your eternal life through salvation. I spoke on that last week. When you first believe and accepted Christ as your personal Savior, because you believe, you immediately become the kingdom. You become the kingdom of God in an earthen vessel that houses the Spirit of God within you. When you first believe. And so what James is saying is you got to go back to believe what has already been spoken. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Life is like a vapor. It can evaporate and disappear and dissipate as if it never existed. So you got to treat a life, because it's like a vapor according to the word. You have to apply all that is within you. You are in the investment of the kingdom of God. And so the Bible says that he paid for you with a price, his own life, through the Son, Jesus Christ. So you don't belong to you. Your responsibility is to line up with the truth that you know, because nothing is promised. You don't know how long that the life is going to be. So you want to fulfill what he has spoken. You want to fulfill what he has already given. He's given his life through love. He created it through his words, through the communication of his words. You are spiritual, having a human experience in this physical body, but yet you're spiritual. Why? Because God is spiritual. You're a creator. Why? Because God is a creator. You are community. You can communicate. Why? Because God communicates. You are relational. Why? Because the God that created you is relational. And another one is moral agent. We are free moral agents. You know, even in the garden, in the book of Genesis, it says that they had the right to eat of the tree of life, even though he spoke, do not eat of the tree of good and evil, but yet they still, he still was free. They still was free to choose. He wasn't going to twist their arm and force them to not eat of it or to eat of it. He gave them the permission and the right as rulers. He gave them power to rule in the garden. And then it was up to them as moral, free moral agents to choose. They have a right. And so as free moral agents, you're morally responsible for what God has called you to say or do. Again, he's not going to force you. So there are natural laws that govern the universe. The universal moral laws are given so that humans can behave themselves. So there's always something set in place, but you have to choose. You have to look at that life and say, I heard the word. To hear the word and not apply it is the sin against God. Because to know it and not to do it is a woe. So you have to rise up and say within yourself, speak the same words that God spoke. What is it that he say about me? Who is it that I am? Why am I here? I just spoke to you every expression there is for you to understand that there isn't anything off limits to you when it comes to what he has set in place. He set it in place for you. In the book of Corinthians, the word of the Lord says, and all things are yours. Not some things, but all things. He's given us power to have rulership and to dominate universally, territorially. He's given us power to create, to duplicate, to resemble, to twin the very image and the likeness of who he is. We produce those same ways, those same thoughts, those same acts, those same acts. So now we are the very, very gifts of God to communicate. We're the spiritual gift because God is. We're the relational gift because God is. We are free moral agents because God has freely given us the right to do just as he did. And he understood his responsibility as a free moral agent. You're morally responsible to choose according to what has already been spoken and just live out the greatest, which is that eternal life, the kingdom when you first believe. So you have all things are given to you. We are without excuse as to why we don't believe, as to why we don't put in effect what God has already given us the right as creative and spiritual and to communicate and to be relational and to be moral agents. God has blessed us. It says when he created man again in his own image, you are in his own image, in the image of God. Created them, male and female. He created them. In other words, God did these things for his glory, that man might glorify who he is. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So God is without limit. There is no expressible word that it expresses that there's a limit to him. Because he's an eternal, everlasting, forever, always. He is the source. He is the absolute. He is all that is. And you are in that. You are the maker of that. It says, and God blessed him. It came back after he created. It said, he blessed you. What are you waiting for? Spread your wings and fly. Don't you know you are his favorite? You're his favorite, all that is, because he is. I am. We're universal beings of God. We're the light. We're the producers. We're to produce. We're to give off that light, that image, that love, those attributes already given. So don't let the biggest part of you that is already great live in fear. Don't live in fear. Fear leaves you with nothing but fear itself. So you're more powerful than you can be imagined. You're beyond any form of measure. You can't even express it because God has no limit. Guess what? You don't either. And the things that you can have, do, believe, say. And then he gave you eternal life because you first believed and accepted the destination of salvation, already designed, already put in place, already given to you, brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light, gave you his power, gave you his dominion, gave you his authority. All that you have need of, you are it. Should you look anywhere else? Should you think on anything else? Should you stand in line and waiting for an application and standing somewhere for some kind of agreement? For somebody to sign off on your paper saying, oh, okay, well, now you can do these great things. Now you can say these great things, or you can have these great things. God forbid, that is not a reality. You playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people can won't feel insecure just because you're around. You got to break that. You got to destroy that. You got to manifest the glory of God. You got to stand up. And listen, when you flow in the glory of God and in the truth of every word that he has spoken and let your own light shine that he has given you, don't you know it gives people around you permission to do the same? Because they're liberated, because you're liberated from fear, don't you know? They are liberated from fear. They're living in truth. They automatically become liberated because you trust the Spirit God that you are. You trust that you are the king in a dome. You have domain or dominion already given to you. So don't waste time. Don't drag your feet. Don't live in fear. Spread your wings. Rise above that negative energy. Take the world. Take everything beyond it. Universal. God has given us all things. And he did it out of his own spirit of love because of relationship, because of the power to create. When he became, used his communication to speak, he caused you to come forth. And then he did you in his likeness, in the image of who he is. So while you're living, produce. While you're living, create. Whatever your dreams are, there's nothing that can stop you. There's nothing that can hold you back. The only thing can hold you back is you, yourself. Only you can hold you back. Only you can stay in the same place. Only you can stop you. We can point our finger and blame other people, but that is not a truth. He created you. He gave you dominion and power. Listen, it said he blessed you. After he created you, it said he blessed you. And then he put a command. It said, be fruitful and create. He wants you to bring forth an increase in numbers. He wants you to fulfill the earth and subdue it. He wants you to rule over what the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over every living creature, everything that moves on the face of this earth. God has given you even power over those things. And so you're waiting for what? I command you today to rise up and decree and declare and to use your communicative skills. We call it language. We call it words. We call it power to speak. And so it shall be. Let there be. And it was. And so I command you to rise up. And I command you to be relational. I command you to flow in the spirit of love. And I command you through the words of God right now that you will also be that free moral agent that will be morally responsible, even as God is. I called you today to be the love in the spirit of God to all men given to you. Don't let your life just become a vapor. Don't let it just vanish and disappear. Don't just live as kings and queens in the earth and die and go back to the grave and never have accomplished a thing because you were afraid of the transformation through truth. Just let yourself fall into this truth, or let the truth fall into you. But however, be one with it. become one with this truth. I want to love on you tonight, and I want to thank God for you and all that has been spoken. You have an awesome and a wonderful night. Love you. Bye-bye.